ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com. All across Central New York, it's the 315. Here's Brian Higgins.
All righty, here we are rolling along on this Friday edition of the show. What are we at? We're about, Bills will officially be banking the clock in around about an hour and 45 minutes or so from now. Right around an hour 45 from now. What will they do with that pick? Will they make a pick? They opted against that twice with two trade downs last night. So to find out what the Bills are thinking and what we may see tonight, we bring in our guy Sal Majorana from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, as always. All right, Sal, are the Bills actually going to make a pick here to start the second round? What's your sense of what's going to happen here tonight?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Brian. I couldn't tell you. I mean, Trader Bean was really at it last night. And, you know, I saw the Twitter reaction to what he did, and it's a little bit crazy how people overreacted. I think he actually made a couple of smart moves. They moved down five spots, and, you know, they're out of the first round. But, you know, at the end of the first round, start of the second round, it really doesn't matter. And by doing that, he picked up some, you know, he improved from a fifth-round pick to a fourth-round pick. He got a third-round pick from the Chiefs, so they improved their draft capital. And now he's got that at his disposal tonight, and he might be able to make a couple other moves. I think he'll pick somebody at 33, but they also pick at number 60 in the second round. And who's to say that he won't, you know, after trading down on Thursday night, maybe he tries to bump that number 60 pick up a little bit to go get somebody else. So, yeah, I mean, it's always interesting with Brandon Bean on draft day because he is not averse to creating some waves, and he certainly did last night. And I would not be shocked if it happened again tonight.
He does not often pick at the pick that was originally assigned to him. He goes he'll go up, he'll go down, he'll go all over the place. It certainly keeps it interesting. You know, there was a lot of, and this just felt like just random conversation this morning, but there was talk out there, oh, why were the Bills trading with the Chiefs? How could you do that? That's your main team you're trying to get over. I find the whole thing silly. Like, what's the difference? Do you make anything of it, of the fact that the Chiefs were the first team they traded with last night?
No, nothing at all. That was all foolishness by whoever was screaming about it. You know, it's never going to go away, the fact that in 2017, the Bills traded, you know, with the Chiefs, which enabled the Chiefs to pick Patrick Mahomes. So that's always going to be on the ledger of the Buffalo Bills. There's no escaping it. So I guess everyone was equating that to what happened last night, which was complete foolishness because, you know, Bean pretty much said this. He knew the Chiefs were going to pick where that he had the sense, whatever, however they hear things. And there was nobody who was going to pick worthy between Buffalo's pick and Kansas City's. So all they did was Kansas City picked their guy four picks earlier, and the Bills got a third-round pick out of them. That was the prize of that trade. It was a good move. It was an absolutely good move. People went bananas because if they had traded with the Colts, would anybody have had a big problem with it? Probably not, but it's because it was the Chiefs.
Yeah, hey, if there was somebody the Bills were dying to have at that pick, they would have taken him. So there clearly wasn't at that pick,
yeah,
it would seem for the Bills. And they may get, be it A.D. Mitchell or who knows who with the first pick tonight, they may get exactly who they were thinking of. Do you make anything of this, Sal? And, you know, I don't even know if there's smoke yet, but there's chatter out there. Obviously, there are unhappy receivers in various places. T. Higgins is out there. There's chatter around the two Niners guys, be it Debo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk. Obviously, the Bills are, you know, they're controlling the pick one here tonight. Could there be a thing that the Bills make a move? Is that impossible with the salary cap right now? Like, is there any way the Bills somehow spin any of this into one of these veterans that may or may not actually be on the trade market right now?
Yeah, I mean, you never say impossible, obviously, because you can always massage your salary cap. You can do things to fit guys in. But look, Brian, I mean, this is part of the reason why they just did what they did, moving Stephon Diggs off the roster, moving Mitch Morse, and some of these guys that had big salary cap numbers. They wanted to create space. I don't think they want to go now and replace some of that calorie space or salary cap space they saved with a Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk contract. And those are big money contracts for receivers. Draft your guy. Draft your guy in the second round. I mean, there's going to be a bunch of guys that they probably have similar grades on. And what's wrong with that? And people have to remember, it's not all about who you pick in the first round. NFL rosters are made up with all kinds of picks after the first round. So why spend big money and lose draft capital to get one of those guys when you've got your choice of the litter tonight among four or five guys who would probably be good fits for the Bills as a wide receiver?
Yeah, you know, there was, you know, the mock drafts, whatever they mean. A.D. Mitchell from Texas was combined with the Bills a lot in the lead-up. Ladd McConkey from Georgia is still sitting out there. I watched Keon Coleman just annihilate Syracuse this year. I think he's pretty good if he didn't run that fast in the combine. Do you think, let's assume the Bills pick at 33 tonight, which is a dangerous assumption to begin with. Do you think it's automatically whomever they think is the best wideout, or could we be throwing a little wild card to start this second round tonight?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's automatic that it'll be a receiver. They do have other needs. And this is a rich receiver class, so they could definitely get one with their second pick in the second round. I wouldn't go much deeper than that. I mean, if you're going to pick a receiver in this draft, I think you need to get one here in the second round. So, but it wouldn't be a shock if he went somewhere else. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Cooper DeJean, the cornerback, the defensive back from Iowa, who, you know, played corner in college but could be converted to safety. The Bills definitely have a depth problem at safety. They got a big depth problem, as a matter of fact, now that they've got no longer have Poyer and Hyde, and, you know, you've got Mike Edwards and Taylor Rapp and nobody else. So that's a possibility. I think he's been connected to the Bills in some mock drafts before. Defensive tackle is a need that they need to, you know, again, defensive tackle is a rotational spot. So it kind of sucks that you pick a second round guy for who someone who's going to play 35% of the snaps, but you got to have them. You got to have guys to rotate up front. So it wouldn't shock me if the kid from Newton out of Illinois is a possibility there. But if you push me to the edge here, Brian, I say you got to pick a receiver. There's just a bunch of guys there who I think could come in immediately and be contributors. And you just washed away Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs. That's a massive amount of a production that you've got to replace. You got to pick a receiver.
Yeah, hey, the main thing that intrigues me here, and, you know, whichever one of these guys it might be, if they grab them tonight, or they pick a couple of them as the night or tomorrow goes along. You know, it's the Packers last year, and they had a bunch of, you know, second, third-round receivers, and there's a bunch of these guys out there. It used to be, these young wideouts, it's year two or year three. No, it is last year. There were 10, 12 rookie receivers that were at minimum, like, decent during the year. It's not crazy anymore, right? Hey, Josh Allen, here's this second-round pick. He's going to actually be okay for you as this year goes along.
Absolutely. In the NFL today, your draft picks have to play year one. Now, yeah, the sixth and seventh rounders, okay, they might be inactive all year on the practice squad. But when you're picking guys in the first, second, third round, those guys in today's NFL with the salary cap have to play right away. They've got to contribute, and they pretty much better start. So there's no longer, you know, they used to be the old days, you can't judge a draft class for 3 years. Baloney. That was the old days. You judge a draft class now, next year. This draft class will be evaluated next year to see how we did. They've got to come in and play right away.
Yeah, now you're looking, it's like week four. You're like, oh, I don't know how these guys are doing. We'll see how it plays out. All right, so here we are. Still a ton of picks to go. Obviously, clearly the Bills haven't made their first yet. When we get to the end of tomorrow here, Sal, what do you think the Bills need to have accomplished here in the next six rounds to feel good about this draft by the end of tomorrow night?
Yeah, like we just said, I think receiver is the number one priority. I think they pick one at 33, and he's got to come right in and join Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, or Dalton Kincaid and be in the starting lineup from week one. That's the number one priority. I still think in the second round, I would look at maybe safety. I don't think DeJean's going to get down that far, but they need to pick a safety because there's no depth at that position. You start training the guy now. You've got two veterans again in Rapp and Edwards who are going to start, but start training that kid now. As I said, defensive tackle is an issue. It's a bad year for edge rushers. I don't see them picking an edge rusher in this draft. Running back, they've only got two on the roster. So you've got to get a running back in the mid-round somewhere to come in and, you know, probably be the third guy. So there's three positions right there that I think are absolute musts coming out of here. And then you look at offensive line. Center is an interesting position. They don't have Mitch Morse. They're going to see if Connor McGovern can play. Who knows if that works out. So you've got to think about center and offensive tackle, where Spencer Brown's in his last year. He could be moving on in free agency. So that's where I think they have to get to in this draft to feel pretty good about what they did.
And Sal Mayeron is with us. How do you think, you know, obviously all those salary cap and the veterans, and man, they cleared out a lot of people that played a lot of big-time games for the Bills here over the last 4 or 5 years when, you know, the safeties and the whole thing, and obviously Steph Diggs and all that over the last couple of months. How do you think the Bills are going to feel about their, you know, their standing in the AFC, you know, come the beginning of next week or as we get closer to the season? Do they feel like, despite all that, they're still, you know, where they were, top of the AFC East, and, you know, in the mix with anybody behind the Chiefs, or do they feel like they've fallen back a little bit?
No, I absolutely think they're going to feel like they're still the team to beat in the AFC East. And quite honestly, I think they're going to be still the team to beat. Miami has made progress. Miami is a better team than people give them credit for. It didn't go well at the end of the last year, but they were a threat throughout the season to the Bills. Look, the Patriots, who knows? If Drake May comes in and is the guy they think he is, they're going to be better. The Jets are certainly going to be better because you figure Aaron Rodgers will play more than four snaps. So the division is still tough, but top to bottom, and they have Josh Allen. I still believe the Bills are the best team in the division.
Yeah, hey, you have Josh Allen, you got a shot, I think is what it comes down to. And heck, when you're getting paid that the kind of money that Josh is getting paid, that's the whole deal. That's the whole deal.
Exactly.
You got a guy like that.
He's a superstar, and he's going to be a superstar for several years to come. So their window is still open. They've got tremendous competition with Mahomes. He's a huge obstacle. Mahomes is a huge obstacle, but, you know, Burrows is probably going to be a huge obstacle. But when you've got Josh Allen and the roster that they have, there's no reason to believe the Bills are all of a sudden going to fall off the cliff here.
Yeah, I know you were watching the whole draft last night, as we all were, Sal. And we all know this. Quarterback's the most important position in team sports, right? We all know this. We don't debate it. What did you make of what the heck the Falcons did at number 8? They just gave Kirk Cousins all that money, and then they're drafting a quarterback. That seemed bonkers at the time last night.
Yeah, that was a little crazy, first of all, because I just don't think Penix was even close to being worth the number 8 pick, no matter who would have taken him there. I think with Kirk, maybe that's why, you know, they picked Michael Penix, knowing that Kirk Cousins is going to be their quarterback for 2 years. I don't think Penix is, well, he's certainly not in the same category as probably the top three guys who were picked. I don't think he comes in and is going to be a starter from day one for any team in the NFL. So maybe, you know, Kirk Cousins is a great mentor. He plays 2 years. I think they can get out of the contract in the third year, and it wouldn't be horrible, I think. And maybe he's just mentoring Michael Penix for 2 years. Hey, we've seen it before with quarterbacks who sit for a couple years. That could be what they were thinking, but it really didn't make sense. Kirk Cousins can still play. I mean, he is still a good player. He could, you know, who knows? He could see the whole 4 years of that contract. They needed to pick a receiver or an edge rusher for sure, and I don't know. That's kind of a whiff. You know, when you pick number 8, and you're a team like the Falcons who are trying to get somewhere, because they've kind of been in limbo for a long time, you've got to pick a guy who can play right away. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just not the time to pick a guy who can't play for 2 years. So that, to me, was the most confusing aspect of the whole of their picking Michael Penix.
Yeah, that felt like that's one of those moves that gets everyone fired in a few years. It kind of felt like.
Yeah, I mean, You're absolutely right.
Or it's evil genius. I don't know. Maybe they'll be laughing at us in a couple of years if Penix turns out to be the dude. All right, we'll be watching. We'll see what the Bills do. Hopefully by like 7:05-ish tonight, maybe we'll know the answer to what the Bills have done. But thanks as always, Sal. Good to chat.
All right, Brian, take care. Thanks for having me.
There he goes, Sal Mayeron of the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. And maybe we will get a Buffalo Bills pick tonight. And at a reasonable hour, man, they were trading late night last night. Like that last trade, it was almost midnight when they were wheeling and dealing out there late in the day last night. We got an update from you, Charlotte. Here's the update. Virginia has been flattened by a steamroller. End update. 2.5 minutes to go in the first quarter. Syracuse 7, Virginia nothing. Has Virginia had the ball? Like, have they gotten to play offense yet? I have not noticed that. Syracuse has the ball again. Just absolute domination so far from the Orange women's lacrosse team in this ACC semifinals. Kayla Traynor looks pleased on the sideline whenever she's shown, because whenever she's been shown so far, her team has just scored a goal and has gone up by more. 7-0, 13 minutes in, down in Charlotte. More updates as events warrant. All right, let's hit a break. We'll get a little 411 on the other side in this hour, brought to you by Laborers Local 633. We're back after this here on Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio.